Hey everybody, how's it going? I'm here today. This is Era Jackson, and I am joined by Carrie Reichards. She is the founder and executive director of Infinitely More Life and Mercy's Light Family in Kenya. And we're going to talk a little bit today about the upcoming conference in September. It's an online conference called Empowered for Victory. We're going to chat a little bit about that and a few other things. Carrie, how are you today?
I am awesome. It's a gorgeous day out here, and I'm so excited for this conference. We had an awesome time in February when we did this live, and I just can't wait to share it with the world after so much that has happened, you know, since February, and just recharge and re-energize everybody. So I'm excited.
I am too. And February was absolutely amazing. And I'm so glad to be a part of this organization and that event. And we have one coming up in February that is going to be virtual this year, thanks to the lovely coronavirus. But it's okay. It's going to be just as powerful as the in-person event was. Let me ask you a couple questions. First of all, let's get your backstory. Tell me something about your family or your life that maybe no one besides me knows.
Oh gosh. Well, I have a husband, Chris. I've got two kids, 20, I better get this right now, 25 and 22, son 25, daughter 22. All of them have been to Kenya at least twice, if not more often. Gosh, what else? I guess the biggest thing is probably I've been a gymnastics coach for a lot of my life. So maybe that's something most people don't know about me.
That would be true. I bet a lot of people don't know that about you. Not only were you a gymnast, but you were a gymnastics coach coming up. Awesome. So let's dig deep into your background. What is the biggest struggle that you've had to overcome in your life?
Oh, I could list so many there. The ministry really kind of was birthed out of my struggles with rape and sexual abuse growing up as a child. And then that led to the Kenya ministries, which then led to the U.S. ministries and the conferences, which have just been amazing. I could list so many other things in their divorce. Gosh, there are just so many. I could go on, but I won't. My biggest one is the rape and sexual abuse. And what that led to was just a constant life of fear. And fear constantly. Like, just, it wasn't sometimes, it was always, and how severe it was, and the anxiety that comes from that, and the struggle of just getting through a day, that level of fear does bring on people that have been through it, and other similar things as well.
Kind of paralyzing, isn't that fear?
For sure. For
Absolutely
sure.
Absolutely paralyzing. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, how did that affect your self-esteem?
Oh gosh, I don't even know that I had an identity. I was like, whoever I was with, I would just take on whatever they liked, whatever they wanted to do, it was just a matter of like globbing onto someone else, because I didn't even have it for myself. I think it was the fear of rejection again. There that I was with that. So it was just like, oh, I'll just be just like them. And then, you know, when they were done, then it was just like the next person or whatever that might look like. So yeah, it definitely affected my life, my emotional state, you know, my spiritual state, just everything, you know, even the activities that I either would do or wouldn't do. And even now in life, a lot of times I won't take on something that I know I can't succeed at. Not always.
I was just going to say, you're saying that you became a people pleaser, it sounds like, and that you assimilated and did whatever they wanted, and you were just very much subservient, so to speak, and not in a good way.
Absolutely.
Sound right?
Absolutely. And that also would come true in relationships. Like, I would just be a part of, you know, like just helping. It was always helping others, not in a good relationship. You know, that led to abusive relationships in my dating life. You know, I shared about divorce, so obviously that didn't quite work out, and things like that. So yeah, it definitely affected all areas. My parenting wasn't what I would have liked it to be. And a lot of that is, at the time, I didn't process a lot of what was going on. It took me many years. And really, as they were teenagers and then, you know, even into their low 20s, that I was processing those things out of my life. Mm-hmm. So then, of course, you know, they got some of that as well, unfortunately. So,
okay. Being transparent here, for those that don't know, you and I have been friends 12, 13 years. And so knowing you the way I do, what was some of the other things that happened? And I'm going to venture to say that because of those self-esteem issues and those fear of rejection issues, you went to the other extreme, and we're both still guilty of this today. You went to the other extreme and you went to school and you got this degree and then that degree, and then you just did as much as you could to look successful and to be accepted. Is that something that was a result of those other factors?
Absolutely. Two things come to mind when you bring that up. Number one was the idea of perfectionism, and that from the outside, my life looked perfect. My kids were perfectly dressed, perfect outfits. I went to work. I did what I needed to do. There was food on the table. The outside of the house looked amazing. Like all of these things, like the persona of perfection. Mm-hmm. I felt I needed, and that I wanted other people to see, so they didn't see all the drama and the mess that was underneath that. So number one that comes out for me, and that is the perfection. And then the other one, which is still something that me and you both struggle with, is that idea of achievement. Like to be accepted, loved, I have to be working. I have to work harder. I have to work longer. I did that originally through an undergraduate degree. I had a son while I was in undergrad, went through that rest of that, and then into law school, and had Brooklyn when I was in law school, went through law school on the dean's list, you know, did all of those things, then was practicing lawyer for many years, and then went to Kenya, and then things started to change. And it took a while. It wasn't like that for sure. Yet it did change quickly, considering the length of my life, and the time frame that it changed.
Right.
And into growing that knowledge that it's price that I'm enough. You know, it's not about what I do or the, you know, the degrees I have or how hard I work. Or, you know, it's a matter of prayer and being in the Word. And that's what's truly empowering. And that's what, you know, leads us to great ministry. And that's what leads God to bless, you know, what we're doing in Kenya in so many ways as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And again, I'm glad to say that I have been a part of watching this whole journey, and it's just been fabulous. What, given your past, what did victory look like in your situations? What, when that moment struck for you, and that light switch came on and said, you know what, wait a minute, all I need to know is what God says about me. What did that look like for you and your life in general?
Yeah, I would say a lot of my healing actually came through writing, and initially just literally like purging out my life story in a complete and absolute disastrous mess, never meant for human consumption, even my own, really. It was just a matter of getting it out. And that was my first step in really getting closer to Christ and being fully honest with all my own personal messes that I've made. Mm-hmm. And then messes that were done to me as well. And so that was a huge first step that way. I also did some emotional healing things and, you know, just started going to church and Bible studies. And that was good. That wasn't probably the first thing that got me there. And then through Bible study and then seeing God working in my life as I did the Bible study, then it was like, okay, let's do another Bible study and another one and another one. And then through that and then writing actual books too on the topics, like it just really, I could just see that it wasn't about me working harder or longer or trying harder or just striving. Like if I could just then, you know, if I watched the right or I read the right book, or I just did everything right, you know, this facade of perfection or whatever that is. Like none of that was ever going to be enough.
Mm-hmm.
And it was through the Bible studies. And then really my interactions with my friends in Kenya that really taught me true dependence on prayer, not just, oh yeah, I'll pray about that. You know, like people said, excuse to not do something, you know, I'll pray about that. No, it was, we'll pray and God will work. And he did. Like, I mean, he brought He did what he needed to do. He brought the location. He brought the land. He, you know, he did those things as I prayed. When I stopped doing many different fundraisers, that did one that God called you after tons of prayer, sitting and praying. And so I would say that it was being in the Word through formal studies to keep me accountable because I wouldn't do it otherwise. And then really devoting to pure prayer, I call it, like just prayer, just because it's prayer time. Whatever he brings up, that's what we'll pray about.
Okay. And so you mentioned books and you've written a few. And you said that writing is what got you started on that journey. So even though this wasn't your first book, was that where you kind of started the first draft of I Just Want My Life Back?
Yes, definitely. Was just purging of everything out. Not everything made it into the book, but yet it was that idea of, okay, what were those biggest moments that really defined who I was, at least in my mind? You know, what were the things that were said to me that then I started saying to me? You know, someone else at one point, you're not enough, or you know, or was that they said. And then I started saying that to myself. And then lived in that for 30 some years. And I don't want other people to do that. I want them to live in victory. I don't want these girls in Kenya doing that. I don't want you doing that. I don't want any of our viewers doing that any a second longer than this second right now.
Right.
And that's why I wrote the book. That's why I do the conferences that we do. That's why I do the work that we do in Kenya, because I don't want anyone having to live in that any a second longer than hopefully the moment that we get to connect.
You know, that's so funny that you say it that way, because it just brought back a conversation that we had maybe a week ago, which is actually going to launch into what we've got coming up in October about what's your Egypt. That was your Egypt. Before you walked out of that and decided to run into the wilderness for a while, and then you finally reach what we would consider, you know, the promised land. You're not obviously all the way in there. None of us ever are. But you're not in Egypt.
For sure. For Absolutely. Sure. Yeah. And that wilderness is a scary place, because you wonder if you'll ever get out. Like, will right. I ever get out? And it's lonely, you know, and it's meant to be lonely, because it's about you and God and him bringing you healing. I can't bring you that healing. Era, you cannot bring you that healing. None of us can do that. We can lead you to the place to find it, but that is an alone time with God. That might be writing. It might be artwork for someone else. It might be, you know, whatever. It's usually something creative that you can really relate with. Let God heal you, you know, through that. And then, but know that we're there with you on the journey, that you're not alone on that journey. Right. The actual healing happens alone. Like, the true deep healing happens alone with God, but we're here with you in the Bible studies. We're here with you, you know, with the conferences. We're here with you with all the things that we do, you know, within the page and within the ministry, to lead and guide you along and be together.
And celebrate those victories and breakthroughs.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what's going to come up in this workshop for you? What are you going to be sharing?
So
in September.
Yes. So the online Empowered for Victory conference, I have shared about my overcoming of rape and sexual abuse, for sure. And then what that led into, and really, what are we doing over in Kenya, and how did God bring that about, and why did he bring it about, and what does it mean? So it's that finding joy, and where do we find joy? Mm-hmm. And where we find the victory. It's not where we...
Wonderful, wonderful. And victory for some person might look different than for the next. Just as success is relative, just like financial freedom is relative, it's all fluid based on one person's standards for themselves, not the next person. So therefore, no one is in a position to judge, oh, Carrie, you're not successful yet. You're not victorious yet. Who are you to say that? Right?
Right. We're always on a journey. If we weren't on the journey to the next promised land, or the next, you know, movement of God, like, we wouldn't be here. He would take us away. So it's always a journey. And healing is a cycle too. You know, I just went through a time of recycling.
Right.
Of a month of struggle, for sure, of going into achievement and trying to do more and be more and all of those things. And so it's a one and done. It is always, healing is always a circle. And we do well for a while, and then, you know, we're down back with Jesus again, just getting deeper healing and deeper healing, and then back to enjoying that success, but then always finding deeper healing and deeper healing. And the second we're off that is because we're not here anymore.
That's an interesting analogy for what we've got coming up in October with our 6-week retraining of the brain seminars. It's a 6-week conference that are, I guess you'd call it a seminar. I don't know, however you want to put it. But it's a 6-week series of basically reprogramming the brain. And we'll talk more about that on another upcoming podcast video or something. So what's next for you after the conference?
Oh, gosh. Well, we've got the October stuff. We are heavy into, we had groundbreaking today, actually, in Kenya on the next piece of property that God just delivered miraculously. And so that will be a vocational center over in Kenya. And so fundraising for that is definitely a part of it. And just really resting with God. Right now, after the season that I've been in right now, is resting with God, getting in the word more, just hearing from him and watching where he takes everything next.
Excellent. Excellent. And before we finish up our last couple of questions, we need to remember, again, we've got the February conference coming up that we normally do annually in person. But again, we're going to be talking about Freedom Harvest in February 26th and 27th, and it's going to be virtual. Watch for those announcements. In the meantime, definitely go online to infinitelymorelife.org and get your tickets for the upcoming September conference, Empowered for Victory, which is really a continuation of the February conference, Empowered for Victory. Where can people find you? All over, everywhere.
Yeah. Infinitely More Life. If you get a message there, either through the website or Facebook, that's probably the best place to grab me. And then from there, I'll get it directly or it'll get to me one way or another. So that's the best way to grab me, either Facebook Messenger that way or through Infinitely More or a contact us through the website, infinitelymorelife.org.
Okay. And is that the best place to find links to get your books and materials? I know that the girls in Kenya are making beautiful keychains and things like that. Besides that, I know you've got the Etsy store. Is that someplace where they can purchase all these items?
Yeah, there's a link on the Infinitely More Life website to the infinitelymorelife.etsy.com site where you can get a bunch of books as well, a bunch of different bags and things, and some that the girls make at the center to teach them how to be self-sufficient and self-supporting when they leave us through their tailoring and their beadwork. So,
okay, excellent. So you're teaching them life skills as well. Now, do you have any goodies in your in the conference? Do you have any goodies that you're offering to the attendees that are at our paid levels?
I do.
Have you thought about it yet?
Pull out who you are in Christ A to Z. So it's a 26-page, lots of questions on each page. And A is, acceptance. And then all the way to Z, which is zealous. So, and everything. They're great daily devotionals, or they're great even as a Bible study. So it's a thick packet of really just remembering who we are in Christ. And I think right now, given all that we've been through this year, all of us have been through this year in whatever ways, we really need that now more than ever. So that's one of the awesome giveaways. That's my awesome giveaway. So
excellent, excellent. I am looking forward to speaking with all of the other presenters for the conference, and we're going to learn more about them through these same questions. And we're also going to find out what their goodies are going to be for the attendees at the paid level. So if you definitely want some extras, do the paid level when you go and get your ticket at IML.org. All right, Carrie, I appreciate your time today. Is there anything else you want to add before we sign off?
Just encourage you all in Christ, and thanks for joining us. And I can't wait to see you at the conference.
Excellent. Have a great night.